Thank you everyone for joining the travel logs. My name is Lauren Howe, and I'm going to talk about a travel experience with the Horticulture Innovation Lab. So I am a graduate student at UC Davis, where I'm getting a double degree in International Agricultural Development and Public Health. And I'm also a student researcher at the Horticulture Innovation Lab, which I think you've heard a couple speakers from us this week. So I want to give a little bit of personal context that I think will hopefully make this story a little bit more interesting. So my background professionally and also in college and just personal passion really comes from the slow food world. So Slow Food is an international organization based in Italy. It's a social network, and our mission is good, clean, and fair food for all. So we're really trying to promote a food system that is sustainable, good for the planet, healthy for animals, and ethical and just, but also one that builds community and joy through the shared experience of food together. And so this is my background. Before coming into grad school, I was doing school garden work with Slow Food USA based in Denver, Colorado, and I think that really informs a lot of my experiences. And so the travel experience I'm going to talk about today is a trip I took last summer to Ethiopia, and it seems fitting that my first exposure to Ethiopia was actually through a colleague I met through the Slow Food Network. So these photos are from a conference. Slow Food hosts a gathering every 2 years in Turin, Italy, called Terra Madre. And this is someone I met from Ethiopia who works on the 10,000 Gardens project there. We first met in 2012, and then every 2 years from then until now. And so I actually saw him when I was in Ethiopia last summer, which was very fitting. So, I'm going to be talking about sweet potato leaves today as the horticultural crop of focus. So what led me to sweet potato leaves? Back in April of 2017, I was hired by the Horticulture Innovation Lab as a grad student researcher, and this was to manage the Trellis Fund program. This is a small grant-making and capacity-building program that connects organizations in lower-income countries with graduate students in the U.S. who have agricultural expertise, who collaborate on horticulture projects to support small-scale farmers. And so one of my first tasks as a manager of this program was to review dozens of applications from small organizations we had received in response to our RFP to carry out horticulture projects. And one of the first proposals that I read was called Sweet Potato Leaves for Improved Family Nutrition. And I was really fascinated by this. It was really different than the other proposals we were reviewing that were focused on production or soil science or even post-harvest management, because this was really focused on nutrition and cooking and food. And so I immediately went to the farmer's market. I was able to find the one vendor who was selling sweet potato leaves, and I wanted to try them for myself, and was really excited about this project and hoped that we could push it through for funding. And so this project was proposed by an NGO based in Ethiopia called Sendacow. So fast forward, we were able to fund this organization to carry out the project. And some of the background was they really wanted to train smallholder farmers on how to prepare and consume sweet potato leaves for home consumption. So sweet potato leaves are known to have fairly high nutritional content. You could compare them to spinach or even kale, but they haven't been widely consumed in Ethiopia due to ingrained food habits. Farmers don't really have the knowledge that sweet potato leaves are edible by people because they're primarily used for plant propagation purposes or animal feed. So this project really was about shifting perceptions around what's culturally appropriate food, especially to support vulnerable communities like women and children who could really benefit from the added micronutrients within sweet potato leaves. So my role in the project, I applied to work on this project specifically as a Trellis Fund Fellow, so a project consultant. And so after being accepted to work on the project by an external panel of reviewers, I conducted a literature review on the sweet potato leaf nutritional content as well as culinary uses globally. So I could bring some of these ideas back to my colleagues in Ethiopia to see what might be a possible application for them culinarily. I helped contribute to the development of extension materials like recipe booklets, training pamphlets, things like that. I drafted a monitoring and evaluation plan that helped us figure out if we were on track with the project, a baseline survey that the organization administered among the farmers, and then I spent 2 weeks in Ethiopia doing field visits, keeping a really detailed learning diary, and then obviously all the reporting required. So going back to the whole slow food concept, I just want everyone in the audience to think for a second about what you ate yesterday. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, who you ate with, where you ate it, was it an enjoyable experience? And then the different aspects, who or what may have influenced your food choices that day. So I know we're all in Las Vegas, and it's maybe not a normal food consumption day for everyone, but just some things to think about. And so I went into this project sharing some of this context with my collaborators, because I think it's important to keep in mind what influences the choices we make around our food consumption. And so this could be nutrition education, if we have background or knowledge of what's deemed healthy or unhealthy. Maybe it's a social and behavior change communication or a social marketing campaign that's reaching farmers that might influence the food choices they're making. People will be more likely to change what they're eating if they feel supported, if it feels like something that's socially acceptable within their networks, and then also when they have greater agency, if they feel like it's a choice that they have to make for themselves versus being forced or told what to do. So these are all important things to keep in mind when working on a project that was all about shifting perceptions of food. Some of the other factors that affect food choice, availability, so is the food immediately around us? Is it accessible? So can we actually get to it physically? And then is it affordable? If it's there and we can reach it, can we actually pay for it? And then in the US, we know convenience is a really important aspect of food consumption. But what I was thinking about perhaps most in the context of this sweet potato leaf project in Ethiopia was around desirability. Would farmers actually be open to eating this new food and want to consume it because it was fairly unknown to them for human consumption? And we were also thinking about, because sweet potato leaves were kind of a new intervention in this project area, why might they not be adopted? What kind of risks or challenges should we keep in mind? So again, affordability, culture or social issues, and then the fact that people in general, but especially smallholder farmers, might be more averse to risk or taking chances because they don't have too much to gamble. Maybe the intervention doesn't benefit the audience or isn't relevant, so we wanted to make sure we were on target with that. And then if an intervention, it has to be reliable and easy to implement and sustain, especially if it's related to behavior change for long-term adoption. And so we were thinking of what some of the biggest barriers might be to sweet potato leaf consumption in Wolaita, which was the area of Ethiopia I was working in. And I think the social perception was one thing. I was also told about a social stigma. So for people who did know sweet potato leaves were edible by people, they had been deemed kind of a poor man's food or like animal food. And so it might be viewed as something of lower social status. So we had to keep that in mind as well. So I'm going to kind of zip through some of this agronomic information because I think that the travel part is a little more interesting. But so farmers were growing sweet potato leaves primarily for the root, of course. But in general, the crop grows very well in different climates, especially in drought conditions. They might also grow better than some introduced Western vegetables that might suffer from pest or disease or moisture challenges. And then the leaves grow really quickly, so that can help farmers reduce labor costs and challenges from weeding if the leaves can act as a mulch, covering the ground and conserving soil and keeping weeds down. So they're multi-purpose. As the farmers were currently doing in Ethiopia, the vines can be preserved as animal feed, as either silage or hay. And then some other leafy vegetables might actually have lower yield than sweet potato leaves, which could also be sold in addition to the root, which could generate farmers more income if they can manage selling both the leaves and the root of the sweet potato. And then also thinking about the nutritional content, Some studies have showed that local sweet potato varieties might actually have more nutrients than some of the introduced exotic varietals. So the leaves can be harvested after about 1.5 to 3 months of after planting, once or twice a month until the roots are harvested. Of course, you don't want to harvest them too frequently because you don't want to damage the development of the root. And then also being cognizant of planting distance. So I created this little graphic that went into some extension materials to show the organization and the farmers the optimal planting distance, especially if they are focusing on cultivating the leaves. In terms of harvesting and handling sweet potato leaves, the best way is to harvest 1 to 2 of the longest vines on a plant, and you can cut off, leave about 10 centimeters so the plant can regrow. And then handling them with care, because they are a leafy vegetable, they're very fragile, they can bruise easily. Immediately put them in cool, shady conditions and then use them as soon as possible for the best quality. So now this is the part I'm really excited about, the cooking tips. So because this was a nutrition-focused project, trying to bring in kind of an overarching nutrition theme of emphasizing to the farmers and the organizational partners, preparing meals that have multiple different food groups for a more nutritious diet. Choosing sweet potato leaves that are dark green in color, usually is an indicator of higher nutrient content. The whole leaf, actually, the stalks, the stems, and the leaves are all edible. But the leaves themselves might be the most palatable. They won't be as fibrous or tough and also have the most nutrition. So again, the leaves should be used as soon as possible for the best quality and nutrients. Otherwise, they can be stored properly. There weren't too many farmers, if any, in the area we were working in that had access to cold storage, but ideally the leafy greens would go into a refrigerator, or they could be put in clean water, or stored in a cool, dark place. So something that was important to share with the farmers and the organization was when you're preparing the leaves, you actually need to have some fat in order for the vitamin A to be bioavailable. And so cooking the leaves with some small amounts of oil or butter can help with that. Or if you're making a salad and eating the leaves raw, adding oil to the dressing can also help make that vitamin A available to the body for absorption. Cooking the leaves, so applying heat, can also make the nutrients available. But you want to cook it for short periods. And so cut things up into smaller pieces. Don't cook them for too long, just till they're wilted, to maximize nutrient retention. And then in general, the smaller the particle size, the better. So raw whole leaves are probably the least desirable from a nutrition standpoint, but lightly cooked or pureed or chopped is the best. Other cooking tips, adding lemon can help retain some vitamins and minerals. And then other preservation methods for the leaves, if you don't have access to cook them immediately, could be solar drying, then turning them into a powder. You can also, I read things about canning, salting, or pickling, or even juicing the leaves. And then the younger leaves might be preferred because they're more tender, but if you're looking for a fiber, a boost in fiber, the older leaves will have more fiber. I guess the fun thing about sweet potato leaves is they can be substituted in really most any recipe that would use any other leafy green like kale or even cabbage or spinach. So I'm going to kind of zip through some of these uses around the world. I thought it was fun just to share with my organization that I was working with. This is how, you know, from the Philippines to Japan, across Asia, sweet potato leaves are really popular, whether they're stir-fried or added to soups or salads, including in the South Pacific, in different Pacific islands. In Western Africa, so from Cameroon to Nigeria, they're using them to make vegetable leaf sauces or in soups. For infant, young child feeding purposes, they've been added to porridges. And then even in the U.S., I think more in the Southeast, so I read some extension literature, I think it's from the University of Georgia or Alabama, where they're showing people in the U.S. also sauteing and stir-frying the leafy vegetables. So they've been introduced a little bit in Ethiopia before this project. So for example, the International Potato Center, which does have a presence in Ethiopia, produced this sweet potato community cookbook, and they had one recipe in there about sautéing sweet potato leaves. So that was at least a starting point we had. And then I made a point before I went to Ethiopia, it felt really important to have a personal experience with the leaves so that I could share that with my colleagues. And so in August of 2018, before I went to Addis, I was actually visiting my parents in Massachusetts. I found a local farm. I literally knocked on the barn door, interrupted their farm lunch, and I asked if they had any sweet potato leaves they could sell me. And they sent me down the street a couple miles away to one of their fields, and they said, just go walk into the field and hand harvest. So I took home a couple of handfuls of sweet potato leaves from this local farm. And then I made a couple of traditional Ethiopian dishes with my mom. So we cooked Doro Wat, which is the dish in the bottom right. It's a chicken stew, really popular for New Year's in Ethiopia. Shiro Wat is to the left of that. That is a chickpea, it's a yellow lentil stew. And then in the top of that is Yabesha Gomen, which is, I think it's traditionally made with cabbage, but we actually use sweet potato leaves for that. I was able to find the traditional berbere spice mixture, which is really a very well-known ingredient in Ethiopian food, and teff flour. And so I was able to make my own injera, so that's the fermented sourdough bread. That's very characteristic in Ethiopian dishes. So it turned out really great. I was able to take this experience with me to Ethiopia. And then I set off for about 2 weeks of travel to work with my organization. And so I'm going to show a short video here. Hopefully this works.
Hi, this is Lauren here, Trellis Fund Fellow from University of California, Davis. And I'm here at the Send a Cow Ethiopia field office in Gnuno. Today's the first day in the field, so I'm really excited. We're here in the Kabele of Yukara, where we are visiting farmers and interviewing them about their production practices and also their impressions and perceptions of sweet potato leaves, especially for human food.
Okay, my name, I'm named by Pelaka Lira Hemato. And I'm 23 years old. Her name is Fatigi Gasho. Our village is named by Areka 04 Kabele or Yukara district. We are producing huge amount of sweet potato per year. But before we had no knowledge about the leaves. But just through the cereal project, we gained the knowledge to cook and to have to eat that things.
We're in Gurumo Koisha Kabele today, where we're training a small group of farmers, around 15, on how to harvest and prepare sweet potato leaves for consumption. So the staff of Send a Cow Ethiopia was just out with farmers in the sweet potato field, showing them how to harvest the vines in a way to not damage the tubers, and then we'll go back where we'll do the preparation and then the tasting of the sweet potato leaves.
Okay, now they are chopping the sweet potato leaves to compare the tasting of even means also participate.
As part of this training, we're doing a blind tasting activity where we introduce this new dish of sweet potato leaves to farmers to see what their thoughts are. And then after everyone got to enjoy the meal and share it together, we then asked the farmers to share their thoughts and opinions with us about what they thought of the sweet potato leaf dish compared to the kale.
We can find this sweet potato leaves even in the dry season. I see every ingredient when we are cooking. So that first I teach my family, then for my neighborhood and my community. Okay, before they use the sweet potato leaves for planting, this sweet potato leaves training is new for them. Just it's more delicious and even it's better than for the kale. So I like the smell. And I'm willing to do this on my own. I learn even the benefits of the sweet potato or even is very important for different kind of diseases like diabetes and cancer. So that first of all, I share these two reports for my family, and then I will show my husband and my family how the preparation, the way how we eat.
So it's hard to believe that today is my last day in the field in the Genuno office in Wolaita. We've had a really fruitful week of farmer interviews, a couple of training workshops, some cooking demonstrations, as well as a community conversation to discuss with farmers their opinions and willingness to adopt sweet potato leaves to feed their families. And I'm just looking forward to sharing findings from this week and discussing with the Sendakau Ethiopia staff about their thoughts on moving the project forward.
So I made that video really just for fun. I like editing videos, and I was able to capture some footage while in the field. And then I actually entered it into it was a USAID AgriLinks Young Scholars blog contest. So I wrote a blog post, submitted the video, ended up winning the contest, and I'm just happy that this story continues to be able to be shared. I think it's a really interesting one, and whatever it is I can do to elevate the work of my local partners, I'm really excited about that. So thank you for indulging in that video experience. So just to show you on a map where we were working, so we were in Wolaita Zone, which is just it's about an 8-hour drive from Addis south. It doesn't look very far from the capital on the map, but it took a while to get there. And that's primarily where we were introducing sweet potato leaves to farmers. So I'm going to share a few personal reflections about the experience now that you kind of saw on video what it looked like. The farmer interviews were really interesting and grounding. Getting to hear from people directly, I guess through a translator, so indirectly, about their perspectives, their experiences, and their challenges. And there were some universal themes that emerged from these. So the farmers in this part of Ethiopia are already having fairly diverse cropping systems. They actually are eating lots of leafy greens already. Fairly universally, they were struggling with climate change and unpredictable weather. And they had fairly similar goals. They wanted to educate their children. They wanted to improve their household, their homes by building nicer homes. And then getting improved animal breeds were some of the aspirations of the smallholders we were interviewing. In terms of the training and tasting activities, so I trained my colleagues who then delivered the farmer trainings directly in the field. And so we gave some background information on the nutrition of sweet potato leaves, the benefits and the uses. We went into the practical hands-on aspect of it. So we did a harvesting demonstration with the farmers, the cooking, and then, as you saw from the video, the blind taste test. And everyone actually preferred the sweet potato leaves, which was really surprising to me. These are some photos from the trainings, which you also saw in the video. So harvesting and then prepping. And then it was actually great to see the men involved in the cooking as well. This isn't really super common in Ethiopia. The women do most of the food preparation. But this organization has a really strong gender equity component of their programming, and so they really try to engage everyone equally. And so these are cooking the two dishes, sauteing some onions here, and then the sweet potato leaves are on the left and the kale is on the right. And then so a couple of the farmers arrived late and didn't really see what we were doing, and so we wanted them to participate in the blind tasting, and they actually closed their eyes, so it was truly a blind tasting. And then we were able to share the meal together and then hear from the farmers about what they thought. So I want to leave some time for questions if people have questions. I could keep talking, but I think it would be better if we have questions.
Yeah, I thought you made it in your personal, but it's the same with the, I've never tried that.
Yeah, so the question was about how do sweet potato leaves actually taste, based on my own experience in the United States preparing it. And so they have a little bit of, if anyone's had okra, they have a little bit of the mouse slime, like not a ton, but a little bit. They're a little bit starchy, so they don't taste like sweet potatoes necessarily, but they kind of have that starchy component. And I really think spinach would be the closest thing to compare them to. Yeah, they're kind of a fun ingredient if you can find them at your local farmer's market, or even if you know someone who's growing sweet potatoes. Perfect, so you can... so you can eat them instead of composting them. Thanks. Are there any other questions in the front here? Yeah, so the question was, what is the main food staple they're eating currently? So it depends on where in Ethiopia. In the north, they tend to eat more grain. So like teff is an example of an ancient grain that's popular in Ethiopia and has become very globally popular. But in southern Ethiopia, they're definitely eating more roots and tubers, so including sweet potatoes. But there's something else there called false banana. And so it looks like a banana tree, and the local name is enset. And you can eat the root of that, and it's also kind of very, kind of a starchy root. Yeah. That's a good question. So the question was, have we done any nutritional analysis comparing, say, purple sweet potato leaves or different varieties? So the type of sweet potato we were working with here, it's called Awasa 83. It's a local variety that was developed by the university there. We didn't do any nutritional testing, but I think that would be kind of a good next step for the project. I think more research around optimal harvesting time of how often and how much the leaves can be harvested without compromising root growth would be a good thing to research, as well as nutritional content, especially orange flesh sweet potato has become very popular in the nutrition space for alleviating vitamin A deficiency. And so looking at kind of combining orange flesh sweet potato promotion with leaf consumption could be kind of a two for one thing to look into. But we did not as part of this project.
The kale that you mentioned there, is that the kale that you're eating there? Because I think they have in Africa one plant that is called kale.
Okay, so the question was, what is the variety of kale, and is it the same type of kale we grow here in the United States? So I have a photo in the presentation I'm trying to pull up here, but basically, it's I looked at it and it didn't look like the kale I had seen here. And granted, I'm only familiar with like red Russian, lacinato, green curly kale, kind of the main varieties in the U.S. But the one that they showed me that they're calling kale looked more like maybe a collard green or kind of a general brassica. And so I don't know the scientific name for that, but I think it's not the same kale as in the United States. I could show you a photo and maybe you can help me identify it. Yeah. Are there other in the back? The question was, is there a percentage of the leaves that can be removed without harming the tuber production? And so I don't have a percentage number for you, but something I shared earlier in the presentation, and I'm not sure, I know people are walking in and out, but it was, you could harvest them about 1 to 2 times a month, around 45 to 90 days after planting, but only 1 or 2 vines of the most robust plant. So definitely not stripping the entire one, but a little bit at a time kind of throughout the season before you harvest the roots. I think we're at time here. So thank you everyone for attending. I really appreciate it.